Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mraz. A happy Wednesday to you. Will Deshaun Watson actually be the only star quarterback available this offseason? A champ, a chump. Your best audio of the day, including the media in Edmonton getting a little frisky. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
Let's begin at quarterback. Because Nick Caserio spoke yesterday, general manager of the Houston Texans, about his quarterback. This offseason stands to reason that we could have, that we should have, a couple of major superstar tier A QBs on the move. New homes, new zip codes. Deshaun Watson has yet to play in more than a year for the Houston Texans. Aaron Rodgers 1 year ago banging the drum on wanting to leave there and wanting a fresh start. And Russell Wilson has consistently dropped breadcrumbs about wanting to leave Seattle as well. Well, those are three of the best quarterbacks in a 32-team league. That could be more than 10% of the NFL's QBs. And a third of the top 10 QBs in the NFL on the move this offseason. But after Nick Caserio spoke yesterday about Deshaun Watson and about his organization, is it possible he's the only star QB who will be on the move this spring? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
There's been some commentary and, you know, that more than likely would not be the case. But I think, to your point, again, like you mentioned, I think we just have to be open-minded and just take the information and process it and ultimately make the decision, you know, that we feel makes the most sense for everybody involved, whatever that looks like.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Nick Caserio on our sports radio affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610, saying that it's more than likely that Deshaun Watson does not play for the Houston Texans ever again. Now, that's not exactly breaking news. We all assumed that. That's been assumed for a while now. But the GM of the Texans is finally now publicly declaring it. More than likely, he will not be a Houston Texan. But here's the thing. Let's assume Deshaun Watson does move. Who knows where that could be? Could be the Dolphins. Could be the Eagles. Could be the Broncos. Could be somewhere in between. Could be some team that hasn't even been discussed yet. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are far less likely today, I think, of moving than they were 1 year ago. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers wanted more say. Rodgers wanted more control. Rodgers believed that he deserved a different level of respect and control over his situation and his career. And the Packers gave it to him. Brian Gutekunst has used the last calendar year, a little bit less, because let's go back to basically August, but okay, so the last 7 months, and said, how do I fix this? And I give Guntekis credit because he was the guy under fire. Instead of allowing ego to get in the way, hey, this is our plan. We believe Rodgers at the end of the road. He can't hold us over a barrel. Gutekunst went to work trying to make it work every day with Aaron Rodgers. What can we do with your contract? They lopped off that last year of money. And so now he has flexibility this offseason with his own situation. What players do you want? Randall Cobb? Okay, let's go and get Randall Cobb. Also, Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur have built a roster that undeniably is one of the best Rodgers has ever played with. Rodgers has gone to a Super Bowl and won one and been 15-1 the following year. And I think top to bottom, you can look at this Packers team and say they are every bit as talented as that 2010 and 2011 version, which were the best teams he ever played with. This week, they're getting two all-pro defensive players back in Jair Franklin and Zaire Smith, or Jair Alexander and Zaire Smith. These two guys are as good defensively as you'll find at that position when they are healthy, and the Packers have won this many games without those two. The running backs in the backfield have been phenomenal as a 1-2 punch for him. The bevy of wide receivers, including Davante Adams, who might be the best in the NFL. Where is Aaron Rodgers going to argue that the Packers are not supporting him correctly or allowing him what he wants, which is freedom to decide his next step? And they certainly haven't doubled down on Jordan Love and said, he's the guy, this is our plan, we're not moving off of that plan. They've done anything but that. I think that for Rodgers, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, it is incredibly difficult to imagine him leaving after that. I just don't see confetti coming down on his head, a team that's just won a Super Bowl, and him going, and now I need to go somewhere else to compete for a Super Bowl or compete again to the NFL. Retirement after a Super Bowl championship? Maybe, although I don't think that's likely either. But leaving after you win? Now, if you want to say it might not end well for Rodgers and he might say, I got to go somewhere else to finally get over the hump. Let's say they lose this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. Could that frustration hitting a wall again leave Rodgers to believe that he should leave? Perhaps. But again, I would ask Rodgers in his most honest moment, perhaps that's a Pat McAfee interview, where do you think it's going to be better? Looking at this roster and knowing that the last 3 years, you have more wins over 3 years than any other franchise in the NFL. But again, guessing what Rodgers is going to do or what's happening in his head is obviously a fool's errand. As for Russell Wilson, they've made a change at defensive coordinator. Ken Norton Jr. fired yesterday. It sounds like they want to bring the band back together. Schneider, Carroll, Russ for one last go at it. But guess what? Russ gets to call his shot here. If Russ wants changes, they're going to defer to him. They're going to defer to Russell Wilson for the prime still left in his career, a potential Hall of Fame one, rather than a 70-year-old head coach. That's what they're going to do. I think they'd like to bring back both parties, but I don't think that's guaranteed, and so Russ gets to call his shot in some ways here. Russ also posting the Instagram shot of him coming out of darkness into a light and saying, light at the end of the tunnel. So there's clearly something that's happening with Russ that makes him feel optimistic. Maybe that's leaving, but maybe that's staying. So I think Rodgers highly likely to stay. I have not heard anything from him over the course of this season that leads me to believe otherwise. I think for Russ, there's at least a 50-50 shot that he stays. And I think for Deshaun Watson, it's about 100% that he's gone. But wouldn't it be interesting if we thought that, oh man, this offseason, there's going to be three tier A QBs on the move, and ultimately, it ends up being one tier A guy on the move, and that guy's got 22 civil suits against him. 855-212-4CBS.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's Champ or Chump.
Remember that the DA show is always available in podcast form, so anything you may have missed or want to hear again, always available to you. So check us out in podcast form. That is the full 4 hours or the best of the show, plus the PGP, which is brand new and ready to go. We taped it yesterday, the show about the show, including the Morgan Freeman cameo last week, the Fat Journal, and much more. Check it out. The Permission Granted podcast is part of the entire DA Show family of podcasts. I was reading an SI deep dive on the paralysis of Sean Bradley. Bradley was a top pick back in the early 90s, was kind of a freak of nature, 7'6". He never lived up to the billing of being the number two pick overall of the 76ers, but became a shot blocker and a very good defensive player in the NBA for a while. Had a very good career with the Dallas Mavericks. And tragically, a year ago, was paralyzed in a bicycling accident. And so this deep dive on Sean Bradley just detailed the pain that he's going through and the daily life of somebody who not only is paralyzed from the chest down, but also is 7'6". He has created such a different series of problems to solve for the medical staff because they have so much more human being basically to deal with than your normal human who is going through something like this. And so it was a really painful read, but a really important read, I thought. And his wife, Carrie, came out of a really difficult relationship. Her children were really, they were affected negatively by her previous boyfriend slash husband. And Sean Bradley, before he was paralyzed, became a real mentor to them. And Carrie just fell in love with him and couldn't believe her good fortune with how kind of a guy and how generous of a guy and how wonderful of a guy she had found after what was a horrendous first relationship. And then this happens, and Sean is in complete depression, and he doesn't know how his life can go on. And Carrie is just there with this spirit and this enthusiasm of helping him through every single day and also kicking his butt a little bit, kicking his butt mentally to not be down and to try to keep fighting and to try to stay positive, which, as you might imagine, is incredibly difficult. And he now can't believe his good fortune with the type of person that she is. And I just thought it was such a wonderful story of helping one another and really two soulmates that found one another for a purpose that's well beyond just the classic getting married, have a family, living together. And I just thought Carrie ends up being the hero in this story because she is there to do everything, but also not just physically, what can I get you, Sean? It is spiritually and emotionally and mentally helping him every single day, which is a traumatic experience and will be for a long, long time. So I want to give Sean Bradley's wife, Carrie, all the love today because this story was really powerful and she is a hero in it and a superstar on a daily basis to the point where I think a lot of people could never know that type of responsibility and that type of role in life.
That's DA's Champ.
Your chump on the morning is Cliff Kingsbury because yet again, Cliff Kingsbury's team goes into the complete crapper when it matters most. The second half swoons of Cliff Kingsbury go all the way back to the first year at Texas Tech. You can set your watch to it. Every single year, his teams either in Lubbock or in Phoenix collapsed down the stretch. And 2 weeks ago, FanSided did a story about Kingsbury and the swoons that his teams have gone through. And this is well before they had lost in the playoff game, obviously, the other night. But I want to read to you some quotes from NFL people in this story 2 weeks ago, okay? An AFC scouting director, quote, Kingsbury's overhyped, not a good coach. He's all hype, no substance. A league source with ties to the Cardinals, quote, honestly, Cliff is such an easygoing guy. He's got an easygoing atmosphere. Leading into week one, the first team never practice or play together at full speed, and veterans hardly ever practice. There is no structure or no discipline there. The source says they've just relied on the fact that they've got superior talent the past two seasons. But when DeAndre Hopkins went out, other guys went down. That bleep just doesn't fly in the NFL. The AFC scouting director. With Kyler a little banged up, no DeAndre, it lessens what defenses have to do to beat them, and defensively losing J.J. Watt was huge. These are huge parts of why the Cardinals aren't good right now. An NFC playoff director, NFC personnel director, rather, when you play the big boys playoff time, they look at you and basically say, this is how we're going to beat you, and they do it. Arizona's an arena football team. If they lose their perimeter guys, they lose their identity. They're a finesse squad. They race out to 7-0, and they're playing in good climates. Three of those games are at home. Three are in the heat. And then you get to December and January in not good climates, and you're screwed bigger than life. You're going to places like Green Bay, and it's like, wow, we're not used to this. These are all what they've said 2 weeks ago. Okay, to fan-sided. 2 weeks ago. And it reared its ugly head again that the league looks at Kingsbury squads as soft. And that Kingsbury's laid back and it's all finesse. But they look at Kingsbury around the league as that's the Arena League guy. And how can you argue? How can you argue? Because it's not just this year. It's not just the last 2 years. It's not just the last 3 years of the NFL. It's every year he's ever been a coach. And I think what you see is a guy that is built up because of facade. He's built up, let's face it. Let's give him credit where credit is due. He looks really good. He's on the sideline. His hair is perfectly parted. His clothes are nice and formally fitting. He looks handsome. He looks tall. He looks like he should be a quarterback. He looks like he would know what to do with quarterbacks. And then you add to it that he runs an offense that's an air raid offense from his days at Texas Tech, and he knows how to get wide receivers going in a million different directions and the quarterback some big-time yards and points, and his offense looks real fun. And that persona has lifted him to where he is. Stories about how recruits' moms want him to come to town because they think he's so handsome. Viral videos of him doing dances with his team and his players. He's always been young for his position, so he's connected with youth and young guys. And I'm not taking anything away from him of those things that work in terms of acquiring talent, connecting with people, etc. But in terms of a football coach, he has refused to adjust or to evolve beyond just the big offense guy. And DeAndre Hopkins goes down, and the Cardinals are totally lacking then offensively. And J.J. Watt goes down, and suddenly they're totally lacking defensively. And what did that tell you? That the leadership came from the players, not the coach. And what happened on Monday night, I've heard some people say, hey, don't worry about it. First time of the playoffs, you'll learn. No. You've got to at least compete in the playoffs. Just getting there and getting your doors blown off from the first snap is not experience. That's not an experience. That's just showing up to the carnival and watching it and waving and walking away. You've got to compete in that game. And the Cardinals didn't. And Kyler Murray didn't. And Cliff Kingsbury's offense didn't. And they were a disaster. And acting like that's playoff experience just because you stepped on the field? No. That's the perfect climate. That's a dome, basically. It's Los Angeles with a roof on the top of it. You can't compete there. You can't get a first down there. So I just think what you see with Cliff is a guy that looks like he's got it together. But what you get from people behind the scenes is he doesn't. He's there because he looks the part and his offense is interesting. But ultimately, there's no substance to it. And we saw this again on Monday. You couldn't even compete. And yet again, losing five of your final six. Cliff Kingsbury is the chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Did you see the Willie O'Ree ceremony yesterday where the Boston Bruins retired his number? How cool was that?
So cool. So cool. And ESPN Plus did a great piece on it as well leading into the retirement ceremony that I think is worth watching.
Willie O'Ree was the first NHL player who was of color. He was Canadian, but he was a black player in the late 50s that broke the color line. And when you think about this, I thought this was astounding. Jackie Robinson did it in 47. Willie O'Ree did it in 59, I believe, either 58 or 59. So it took the NHL more than a decade. 58 he did it. More than a decade to break the color barrier. So that's how long it took for a player of Willie O'Ree to get through and play in the NHL. But also, think about how long ago Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. The 40s, shortly after World War II. And he passed away by the early 70s. So there's no concept of what Jackie Robinson would be, could be in modern America. Willie O'Ree is 86 years old. And did you hear him, Mraz? He is put together. He speaks great. He thinks great. I mean, he didn't seem a day over 70. He seemed young.
Completely sharp. Completely sharp. So well-spoken. So articulated. And remember, this was supposed to happen either last year or 2 years ago, but due to fan restrictions, or I guess it was last year, that they couldn't do it.
Right. So I thought it was inspiring that Willie O'Ree is not only still with us to see a day like today. I mean, imagine Jackie Robinson still being with us. Now, again, Robinson did it about 11 years earlier, but could you imagine Jackie Robinson having lived until the 2000s? He died in his early 50s. And I think that a lot of it had to do with the type of pressures that were on those players. Jackie, Larry Doby, Willie O'Ree, the guys that broke the NFL's color barrier, Marion Motley. The pressures on those guys, the hate that they got, the intensity that they had to live their life was, it wore on them. And for Jackie, I mean, undoubtedly, it scarred him and that he was never a healthy man after his career and passed away in his 50s. I mean, it had weighed such a ton on him. For us to still have Willie O'Ree is just such a wonderful blessing. And for him to see that yesterday is such a wonderful blessing. And for the Bruins to finally do that, retire his number is such a wonderful blessing. And I just thought the entire thing was really cool and a really great moment and a really great sports moment and cultural moment. And it was.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inspiring just to hear Willie talk about his time, and he's 86 years old, and sounds like he could be, just listening to him, be with us for another 15 years, which is awesome.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Remember that the DA show is available on your smart speaker. Have us on around the house by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Here's Mike Tomlin. Does Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins have a shot at being the starting quarterback next year?
Both guys, Mason and Dwayne, have had their moments, but they'll have to prove that. And not only in the team development process, but through playing itself. They're guys that start that I wouldn't characterize as everyday starters, as you described. And so they'll be given an opportunity to establish themselves, and they're going to be competition. There always is. And so they'll write that story. But I think that both guys have positioned themselves to fight that fight with what they've done from a work standpoint and a professionalism standpoint in 2021.
If the Steelers start Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins next year, they will be trying to tank. I don't know if you can just basically wipe away Arch Manning's entire collegiate eligibility to try to get him. If you start Mason Rudolph with that face or Dwayne Haskins with that resume and that attitude, it's going to fail and fail spectacularly. The Steelers are a smart organization. They've got a good roster. They've got a smart front office department, personnel department. They cannot think that either one of those two doofuses can give you a legitimate shot to win football games next year. We've seen Mason Rudolph. We've seen him. We got so much Mason Rudolph, the Steelers said, we'll take Duck Hodges. We saw so much Mason Rudolph the year that Ben was out after week one that they actually said, we'll take a quarterback named Duck. As for Dwayne Haskins, it was a flyer last offseason. Let's see what he's got. Maybe he steps up and tries to win the job and grow up. He didn't. He's out. Those two guys are out. You've got to do something else. Draft Kenny Pickett, local dude, at Pitt, great. Draft Matt Corral, great. Trade for somebody, fine. Free agent signing, fine. It can't be Mason Rudolph's face, and it can't be Dwayne Haskins. It can't. You want to know why we here on the DA show love Andy Reid? Why everybody should love Andy Reid? Because he looks at Super Bowls like this.
Well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and then you have one dangling in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting. You're going to try to go get it if you can. You know, that's the best you can.
God. What a great man. And Mraz, I hope I can say this. What a great fat guy.
Yeah. You didn't emphasize the F. I think he is. He's a legendary fat guy.
He's one of the great fat guys of all time.
Yeah.
He looks at winning Super Bowls like you never get tired of it. It's like a big piece of chocolate cake with chocolate frosting dangled in front of your face. You can never get enough of those. You want to just keep eating them.
Yeah, he actually summed up so much of my problems over the last 20 years right there. Yeah, you could have a piece, but it's never enough. It's just never enough.
Because it's so good.
Right, it's so good. It's, you know, you see a bunch of pastries down or a bunch of chocolate chip cookies come out of the oven. Anybody who's ever baked chocolate chip cookies in the oven and the whole thing smells, you know, that delicious smell. You grab one off the tray when they're hot. Now your hands are at the side the rest of the night as soon as those cookies are baked, or are you going to have about 15 of them? Because I go for 15 of them.
And once you've had one, it only makes you want to eat more.
Of course. I break out the milk. I'm dipping all over, and his is chocolate cake. He's right. I never thought of it that way. And yeah, no wonder Aaron Rodgers is pushing for another Super Bowl. It's never enough.
Also, we now know Andy Reid's guilty pleasures. Cheeseburgers, chocolate cake.
And went to bed.
He loves them.
But there's things to love worse, right? I mean,
oh my gosh. Well, it's classics. I mean, he loves the classics. He probably loves like Chuck Berry and like old Studebakers. He just loves the classics.
Yeah, it reminds me of when Costanza said put a bottle of Pepsi and a box of Yodels on the table for dessert when you come, people will be pleased. You don't have to overthink it. You give Andy Reid, you don't have to worry about cooking up a big steak or anything. No, a cheeseburger, chocolate cake, he's good to go.
Or some foo-foo French concoction. Right. From the newest recipe.com or some type of television show. No, he just wants a cheeseburger and a chocolate cake, and that's good. That, to me, I love that guy.
You know what Andy Reid loves? He loves Dipsy Doodles and a French onion dip with bacon. He's not looking for the Peking duck sliders.
No, that's true. That is actually true. You're right. I was looking for the Peking duck sliders. Andy Reid wasn't, and thus I should probably be more like Andy Reid in my life. Although I will say, Andy Reid bald, I think that's why he wears his hat all of the time. It's kind of weird to see him bald. It's a little bit weird.
I agree.
When he doesn't wear the hat, you're like, ooh.
Because some fat guys look good bald.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He hasn't also like fully committed to the right kind of bald.
Well, maybe just because I've always seen him with a hat on and that he used to have hair. I mean, like, basically the last time he took off his hat, he had hair. He took off his head, he's got no hair.
But he also looks like he doesn't necessarily shave his head. He just looks like he's lost all the follicles in his head and, like, there's no shaving to be done.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It looks... Yeah.
It's the best way I could describe it.
It doesn't look like it's Bruce Willis, like he's trying to bick his head. It just looks like all of the hair totally fell out and there's nothing left.
Exactly. There is an odd difference to that.
And finally, one of the league's best players in the NHL plays for the Edmonton Oilers. Would you care to give me a little background of this guy?
Leon Draisaitl, who is basically Connor McDavid's running mate. Consider them Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr.
Okay. So you tell me, as the king of Canadian bacon, is Leon Draisaitl kind of is he a bit of a diva?
Honestly, I would not have known that. I would not have known that. He's always at the top of the league and league leaders. But to be honest, when you live in New York, you don't hear a lot of, you know, the Edmonton Oilers media / the players speaking. Like, it's not like the league markets Leon Draisaitl to Americans this way. We all know Connor McDavid. So, to be completely truthful, this is actually probably the first time I've ever heard Leon Draisaitl talk.
Well, also, no hockey player is really known as a diva. Like, there's one every 20 years. It's like Sean Avery, and nobody knows another one.
That's a good point.
Nobody's a drama queen. So this exchange is interesting because the Hall of Fame reporter, he's a hockey Hall of Famer, Jim Matheson, asks Draisaitl why he's so, I think I can say this, why he's so pissy.
Well, we better be able to say it. We have it about the play.
And it catches Draisaitl off guard, and I don't know if Draisaitl and him, that they don't like one another, or he's read something that Matheson has written, but clearly there's animosity there because Matheson leads with, why are you so pissy? So here's the exchange.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
I mean, this is the best Canadian fight ever. It's all monotone. It's all under the breath. Nobody's yelling. Nobody's screaming or ranting. It's just under your breath, hate. It's just like, that's how Canadians fight. Why are you so pissy? Get out of here. Is that why you... Yeah, you have all the answers, don't you?
Why are you like, so pissy, Lord?
It's just perfect.
Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
Oh, you've got all the answers, don't you?
I'll give you an answer.
Not a very good one.
Not a very good one.
We talk about the New York and Boston media. No. I want the Edmonton media down here. Somebody press Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge on this stuff.
Now, for the record, the Oilers have had a terrible season, right? This is like one of the most disappointing seasons.
I mean, yes, because they have star power, but at the same time, they're so far behind in games played in their division that if they won every game in hand, they would be tied with their division leader, the Vegas Golden Knights. But right now, they're second to last place in their division.
Okay. Yeah, the problem was they had a great start. And now they've had a complete free fall. And they've had, this is not the first bickering. They've had the coach calling out people. They have the players calling out the coach. It's been really ugly for weeks there.
And so was Matheson okay? Because the first question he asked is basically, what's wrong with the Oilers? And Draisaitl says everything.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's it. And that's kind of a, that's not a great answer, everything. So then, is Matheson in the right by saying, why are you so pissy?
I don't think you could use the word pissy there.
Yeah. What can you say?
Frustration's really mounted with you. I sense some angst here. There's a better way to say it. Flat out saying, why are you so pissy? Is like something you say to your, or your mother says to you at some point, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to condone a reporter getting that personal with a player over Zoom in person. Players can suck. Reporters can suck. But I feel like you've got to not go, why are you so pissy, dude? Like, there's got to be a little more decorum there. Even if you want to, like, on the side afterwards, like, ask somebody, like, why does he hate me? What's going on? Clear in the air. I get that. But I don't know that you can just go, hey, man, why are you such a jerk?
Well, sometimes I'm pissy. And so I'm going to give you the right to use that drop anytime that happens. To just play that to ask me, D.A., why are you so pissy today?
Why are you so pissy, Lord? Yeah. Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
The drop didn't fire. The clip didn't fire. Wasn't edited correctly. I said the wrong names. We were late to break. I stumbled over myself. The guest didn't come through. That's all of those things. I'll have to have some type of press conference the next time I'm pissy. DA, why are you so pissy? It's just, you have all the answers, Mraz. I know you have all the answers, so you tell me.
Why are you so pissy?
Go ahead. Book Ross Tucker again, okay? You have all the answers. Okay, another typo in the topic sheet. You weren't paying attention to the text thread that we had. Okay, you got all the answers, okay?
Sounds like you had this ready to go.
Yeah. Your Canadian might be the most factually correct accent you have.
They really come and go. Tomorrow this will be gone. The Gruden will come back. Then the Sperano will be terrible. I mean, it's just...
Shep will be back in Memphis.
Shep will be the jazz singer. And that's your sound check. So I gave Mraz some homework before the break, Bogues. I said, go back and look at the pictures from Mike McCarthy hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy from 11 years ago and look at him from Sunday. And I want Mraz to describe what has happened to his physical appearance, because to me, it's really starting to get out of control. Okay.
Yeah, I think his fat journal is empty, Mike McCarthy. So, there are no entries.
So, Mraz, you've now done the study. What does the study tell us from the Fat Institute?
All right, well, first and foremost, the first thing you could pay attention to is the face. The face is always the first to go, they say, really? In many ways.
Is that what they say?
Yes. So if you look back,
they?
We're not going to pretend the Fat Institute of America, the FIA. We are not going to pretend that Mike McCarthy was ever thin by any means, right. Clearly, when he was the coach of the Packers. But when he wins the Super Bowl, remember, no facial hair.
very white teeth. He actually really got brought by in these big eyebrows.
Oh.
But what you notice there is, sure, there's double chin when he does the old tuck and lean. And what I mean by that is I have often been victim of this. When you take pictures oftentimes and you're a bigger person, you always need to make sure you kind of like stick your face out a little bit. It keeps the face straight. You don't get the double chin droop. Sometimes when it becomes too heavy, there's no helping it. But what happens here is when he leans down to look at the trophy, you get the tuck and lean. The chin kicks back and you get the fat bulge coming out. Then it ends up kind of resting on that. And it basically becomes like a loose gizzard of sorts.
A gizzard.
Where it's there, you've made yourself fat enough that it's hanging there, but there's ways to hide it in pictures, and he doesn't do a great job. Then he gets to Dallas here. Okay, he does not yet have the beard when he first gets to Dallas, but you can see he's filled up that looseness a little bit, where it's a little harder to tuck and lean because it's just there. You're not giving yourself any looseness. Now he's gotten to the point at the end of this season where not only is the looseness all gone, in other words, he has stored all he could store in the hanging Chad, let's just call hanging it, Chad. Underneath his neck.
He's ready for winter.
You can't stick out your chin anymore when you take a picture. No, it's just there. It's firm. It's hard. You could go when he gets the massage on the table. That's actually a body part now that could be massaged. And because of that, he's gone into what I call fat guy panic mode, and that is, I'm going to grow a beard.
Oh, that's fat guy panic mode.
Because when you grow a beard and you know you have no more room on that chin to even hide that in pictures, at least the beard puts attention on that, and you could turn the underneath of your chin and double chin into one big face. Because when it comes underneath, it looks as if your face just got longer, and that's what a beard does on a fat guy. That's why you see a lot of bigger guys do that. It looks better in pictures. Now, the face is big, but obviously, on top of losing room in the face, you know, he had a pretty solid, I would say, 2X gut for shirts with the Packers. He's hit the 4X mark now. So much so that the cowboy paraphernalia, you could tell, it's if you wear it after more than one wash, which isn't always the case, he doesn't have a lot of room underneath to work with. See, I oftentimes wear that underneath tee because everybody goes, well, why do you wear a shirt underneath? Who cares? Well, I tuck it into my pants because I know my shirt's sometimes a little too high. You don't need butt crackage. And that's exactly what McCarthy's going to have a lot of if that belt isn't tight on the khakis, because the sweatshirts and stuff now just kind of hang and end with no elastic on the bottom whatsoever. And he's lost room. Love handles, they've exploded to the side. There's nowhere to put anything anymore. And it's kind of like he can't, there's no way he can reach down and scratch his thigh because of everything that happened on the side. So he can't do the tuck and roll. He's got to grow the beard to hide, and he has nowhere to put his arms anymore. There's no room to move.
I love that he's at max capacity. The fire warden says no, no more people allowed here.
He's not on the BMI chart.
He is not.
I love the idea of Mike McCarthy. All of his airbags have blown.
That's exactly it. That's the best way to put it. Yes.
All he has left
They've
is looking
all
like
deployed.
The actual Nickelodeon graphic they made of him after the game on Sunday. That's the only way he could get worse.
You know, but Mraz brings up a lot of good points. He's got no neck to hide now. He's trying to hide it with a big gray beard. Bad look. And he's not tall, so he's just growing rounder. He looks more and more like a Russian nesting egg every time. So it's just more round.
And I say this entirely seriously, and I know it's going to come across as this. If you look at me and you stand up, you will notice something. I have essentially an inverted behind, okay? The reason for that is when you are a little heavy set, your legs carry a lot of weight, so your legs get a little more defined, your butt gets a little more, I guess, like not fat. But when you run out of room in your neck, your stomach, and your arms, the butt will explode. So the point is, if Mike McCarthy keeps this job, the ass is the next to go. And it's going to be awfully tough putting on pants for him. We've all seen the 500-pound guy walk through Walmart, and you're like, whoa, look at that. And it's like no definition from your ass to the back of your knee, because that's it. That you've totally exploded there. And, you know, you sit on the toilet, you're 15 feet up because that's the last thing you've gained. Look out for that with Mike McCarthy in the next 2 years. He doesn't have that yet, but it's getting there.
The ass will be the next to go. Again, the airbag will blow out of that window.
It happens. I've been there. I watch my ass on a daily basis to make sure. That's as long as that doesn't go for me, I know I'm still in good shape.
Note the beard.
Oh, man. I knew you'd do a good job on that, but that was even better than I would have thought. Assessing Mike McCarthy. Then and now. How it started, how it's going. The airbags have deployed.
Except one. The rear airbag is hanging on for dear life. The tension is unreal back there. Even if you just walk by and flicked it, it might just pop.
Let's hope he doesn't have underwear from the Norwegian army.
He's driving the car from plane, trains, and automobiles right now. It's all on fire. Everything's deployed.
Not Connor Green says, DA, nothing can ruin my day after hearing that Gwen Stefani open. I'm glad I can assist Sean in the spelling of bananas. Hashtag unpoipet. Yesterday, Andrew Catalan, voice of the NFL and March Madness on CBS, read through the Fat Journal, and in doing so, cited something that we've cited a couple of times. Mraz keeps misspelling bananas. He keeps putting two N's in the middle of bananas. It's B-A-N-A-N-A-S. He keeps putting two N's in there. So, Not Connor Green said, how can you misspell bananas? There's a song about it. Andrew Kaplan went to work.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Yeah, my bleep
Gwen Stefani.
Is bananas. B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-A-S.
You tossed me around that deck, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause there ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back, girl. A few times been around that track.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Not B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
A-N-N-N-A-S.
That's just ban-as. Ban-as.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
No, that's just three N's now.
B-A-N-N-A-N-N-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
N-A-S.
Ban-as.
A-N-N-N-A-S.
Are those ban-as ripe?
B-A-N-N-N-A-S. But yeah, I have good news.
Yeah.
Not to spoil side B of the PGP, but Sean reveals this week that he believes he is now learning the things we think he should know by now.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning them now because of story time with Sweet Little Taylor at Night. Her books, she's two, her Elmo books are now teaching Sean important lessons.
Is that right?
I'm reading more books now than I've ever read in my life.
That's how this began.
Now they're at the two-year-old level, so they're...
Sure, but I can only imagine it grows. Like, my daughter will not let me go to sleep at night if I have not read her a new book.
Cool. So what'd you learn last night from reading Taylor to sleep?
I will be honest. Last night we read the same ABC book we had done twice prior. So, I mean, honestly, my big takeaway, not a lot of X words. I mean, they really push the envelope.
It's always xylophone or X-ray.
XR, X-ray. I mean, that was really the only thing different new I took out of last night. Okay. I, you know, on the spot, I'm just going to be honest with you. Same ABCs book by Disney.
Okay. Okay. But largely speaking, you are gathering a new foundation of education.
Yes. Yeah. Again, very, very early onset education. But these are the things we've hammered home that I've forgotten over time that I think helps. And I find it great. I'm reading front cover to back cover of these books every night now. I'm ripping through books.
You're ripping through 13-page books where the font is 56 and there's one word a page.
There's a lot of pictures. I get it. But nonetheless, I was told to start reading books. I'm reading them.
Now, our new boss loves long-term bits, right? Mm-hmm. Loves thinking ahead, multiple-week engagement.
Yeah.
This one's a doozy. But Sean's about to go through school again. Through Taylor, and we might be here for the ride. Now, again, it's going to take 10, 12 years. So that's a lot of shows. But he's about to redo or do for the first time school with his kids.
Fatty Gilmore.
Fatty Gilmore.
Again, Billy Madison went to school, you dopes.
All right, Fatty Madison. Billy Fattison.
Billy Fattison.
What is it to go back to the fat?
I don't know.
Back to school. Back to school.
Look, I don't know how it happened, and it might be Danielle taking care of the baby, but clearly I'm being leaned on for the education of Taylor now.
Perfect.
Oh, no. So a lot of homework, I'm assuming, is coming my way.
And a tutor.
He's a tutor, all right.
But she's smart. She's smart. She's upset. Think about this. The irony of all ironies. She's obsessed with books.
Thank God somebody is in that house.
For now. I mean, she has cleared out an entire shelf of toys to want to have her own, like, library in her room.
Wow. How about, where'd she get that from?
I don't know. Certainly I'm disappointed, but it's what she's doing. She has, like, that was one thing she wanted. It's like a six-layer, you know, kid-friendly bookshelf where she's organizing them the way she wants to organize them.
Wow.
Knows which one she wants to pull out and read at any given time. Obsessed. Kids sleep with stuffed animals. She can't not sleep without books.
What are the odds? Maybe she realized early on that knowledge around her was a desert. It was the Sahara.
So she just started. Someone's got to know something around here.
A meteor hit knowledge.
I'm telling you, it makes no sense to me either, but that's like her thing. She loves being read books.
And that's great for her. What a turn. Because the last time I saw her, she was eating dog vomit off the floor.
Right. Oh, no, she's rallying. Right. Yeah, that 6 months has been a big rally here.
Don't show her dip.
Has she read about that incident yet?
No, she hasn't. She hasn't. She's good. She's on top of things, man. Her education's through the roof.
So Taylor Mraz is going to end up being a valedictorian, go to an Ivy League school, and be completely humiliated that her life began by eating dog puke.
Well, look, I think we'll always look back and realize that was the first DA show at Bob's Bar. Anything went that day. So her eating dog vomit, that was her own meatballs originally. Yeah, that's just bound to happen.
It is one of the great circles of life ever. Mraz had leftover spaghetti and meatballs. They were made for Taylor that day. Taylor had them in front of her. She ate half of them, left the other half. Eli came by and ate the rest of the meatballs and spaghetti off of her plate because she wasn't interested. Again, sure. A great irony of being Mraz's daughter. She wasn't interested in the second half of the meal. Eli, of course, can't eat human food like spaghetti and meatballs on a 90-degree May day.
Red meat's a problem for me.
So he eats it within 30 seconds and then vomits it all up over the patio. Instead of somebody quickly racing to clean up the vom on the patio that day where there is a national radio broadcast performing and...
I mean, you were sleeping at this point.
Oh, that's true, too. And a parade of characters and Mraz's own mother being so embarrassed of decorum that she shamed Bayou Bear and Foxy from being shirtless at the place. They allowed dog vom, spaghetti, and meatballs to be on the patio long enough for Taylor. Taylor to pick up a piece of the meatball
that had been vomited
up from Eli and ate it. So she had two turns.
She realized she wasn't in fact done.
She had two turns at eating those spaghetti and meatballs. The first time when they were served to her, the second time after Eli had eaten them and then regurgitated them.
Oh man, yeah. If you like twice baked potatoes, how about twice eaten spaghetti?
I am gonna defend the cleanup crew here. Taylor swooping in, it was like Brian Dawkins. It was a bang bang play.
Yeah.
Sean is vomit, right. And she came in out of nowhere to knock the ball loose.
Yeah, the problem wasn't that it was there for a long time. You are right. The problem is it took a long time for anyone to react to her eating it.
Yeah, bogus at the point I go, she's like three bites in, Sean. You going to do something as a father here?
Sean, I think she just ate the dog's puke. I think that just happened. And then he didn't clean her face either. And I want to say as well, you might have had her wash it down with boiling milk that had been in a bottle for a while, too.
There's a lot that happened that day. But look, in the months that have followed, she's really grown up. Big in the books.
Yeah, meanwhile, Sean's reading alphabet books.
What would happen if that was like her Spider-Man bite, where she ate Eli's vom and then became a super genius?
I just hope while Sean still searches for rock bottom that she hit it at two and it's only on the way up.
True. Point guard at Yale. We'll see in a couple years.
She's reading Mraz books.
Yeah, that's going to flip. I give it 2 years until she's reading Sean to sleep.
I give it 2 hours.
Believe me, I did read myself to sleep to a nap the other day. I didn't know where she went. I woke up 2 hours later. I said, oh, no. I was in her bed and everything.
She's cooking dinner.
Where was she?
Danielle was out with the baby.
She was opening up a library book account.
You know, she was on the couch renting movies. I don't know what's going on.
Danielle was gone, so she was home alone, awake?
I was reading the book. I was really tired. Whatever day that was, and I was reading her a book in bed. I thought she was going to take the nap, and I passed out.
She was filing the taxes for the household.
Yeah, she's betting the under in the Chiefs game.
I woke up 2 hours later. She was just on the couch watching TV.
What's the movie with Russell Crowe where he's like a math whiz?
Beautiful Mind.
And he's just writing things on the window. She's got markers out, doing problems everywhere.
She's doing it with SpaghettiOs. She's spelling out super long, amazing words with SpaghettiOs.
Hey, look, E equals MC squared.
MC Hammer? No, Dad.
Here's the formula.
she's cleaning up the kitchen. She's opened up a 401k for them.
She's spelling bananas.
I opened up my college fund.
B-A-N-N-N-A. Maybe she can explain why every time I get some kind of stock update from the company, it says I've only made $1.07. Maybe she can explain that to me.
She is well aware the DA show is on borrowed time already, and so your star is going to be well faded by the time that she needs that money, the college tuition.
Your portfolio is not diverse. You got to spread it out.
She's buying big into the Zach Gelb show.
Dad, I'm telling you, Bitcoin is the future.
Who's Matt Rhule?
That chef knows the NBA.
By the way, Rob of the 321, artist formerly known as now back to his original brand, tweets that Matheson, the guy that got into it with Leon Draisaitl. Draisaitl?
Draisaitl.
Draisaitl.
He just found out also the Stars got new uniforms.
I've learned that. Says that Matheson?
Matheson. Oh, man.
Just call him reporter and player. Just do that.
We'll keep you updated once the football season ends, DA. Don't worry. You got a couple weeks.
Look, if this was Peter King and Patrick Mahomes, I would get it.
But see, here's the problem. All the hockey we've done has been based on a new arena, so I don't blame you.
So Matheson, he says, is the Peter Schwartz of the Edmonton media. And like the Islanders players, all these guys hate talking to him as well. So is that possible? Although Schwartz would never have the spine to call anybody.
Why are you so pissy?
And Schwartz is still begging to be verified, let alone be a Hall of Fame writer.
Yeah, that's a great point, yeah.
I mean, the guy writes about mascot droppings. I mean, what do you want here?
This guy, Matheson, probably covered the 5 Stanley Cups of the 80s with Gretzky and Messier.
Yes. I mean, he's legitimately in the NHL Hall of Fame. Schwartz has been to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the one time Schwartz should do an interview, I had him on the day the Islanders opened the new arena, and he had no take on the team but wanted to tell everybody where they could find free parking.
This guy's in the Hockey Hall of Fame for covering 5 Stanley Cups and Wayne Gretzky. Schwartz has his ticket to the Hall of Fame framed on the wall next to Long Island Ducks opening day 1998.
Right next to the Hockey Hall of Fame food court.
Jim's already covered a game, too, at the new arena. Schwartz has not.
Matheson's actually paid for parking.
Right.
Schwartz has not. All right, AB has our headlines this morning.
And they are sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. In addition to Mike Tomlin's QB comment that we heard in soundcheck, he seemed to say yesterday that offensive coordinator Matt Canada is keeping his job, which Steeler fans didn't necessarily love hearing. Their offense averaged just 4.8 yards per play this season, plus D coordinator Keith Butler is expected to retire. The Dolphins said to be interviewing Josh McDaniels today for their head coaching job. Dan Quinn interviews with the Dolphins as well.
You think McDaniels ever gets a job, or does he just every year interview and either never get the job or never say yes to the job?
He's making me root for the Patriots to hire somebody else when Belichick retires.
Because you don't want Josh McDaniels.
Well, at this point, yeah, you've said no, you screwed the Colts. Everybody assumes that you're the guy in waiting. Belichick clearly is chasing down Shula, not stepping down anytime soon. I hope when that time comes, the Patriots go, you know what, we're going to go in another direction.
Why would you interview Josh McDaniels anymore? Like, if he didn't leave that time for the Colts, and we're now 3 years removed from that, right? I mean, Reich has been there at least 3 years. Maybe four.
I mean, Reich might be getting close to getting fired, and they have to re-interview.
Why would Josh McDaniels 4 years later suddenly take a job? He's 4 years closer to the Patriots job.
Yeah, and it feels like there's like 17 Patriot general manager candidates, so I guess he has ties to all of them, like Casario's one.
Bizarre. I don't know why you would interview McDaniels or he would take an interview.
And they're different guys, but can the Dolphins hire the other Pats coordinator after firing Brian Flores for 2 years?
Right, for being two Patriots.
Right. The Colts, by the way, their D coordinator, Matt Eberflus, had a second interview with the Jags yesterday. To the NBA, the Knicks and T-Wolves came down to the final seconds at the Garden.
Fournier up top, off the Randall screen, curls into the paint, runs up the shot, off glass, no, rebound loose. Alec Burks has he, steps back on a three, fires, no, but a whistle. Is the ball game over, or is there a foul? There is no foul. It's a Timberwolves victory.
That's Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Minnesota escaping 112-110 after those two Knick misses. Karl Anthony Towns scored the go-ahead point with 29 seconds left. The Warriors won the only other NBA game last night, 102-86 over the Pistons. Klay Thompson scored 21-18 for Steph Curry. The Clippers reportedly adding weeks to Paul George's recovery from a torn UCL in his right elbow, so he is now out, presumably into February. George hasn't played since December 22nd. Men's college hoops, Florida State took the number 6 Duke, 79-78 in OT. The Noles have now won 13 straight in extra time. Number 5 Baylor bounced back from two losses last week with a 77-68 W at West Virginia. Number 7 Kansas escaped Oklahoma, 67-64, and Texas Tech topped Iowa State 72-60 in a meeting of ranked Big 12 teams. Free agent shortstop Carlos Correa has hired Scott Boras. At some point, they'll be able to find Correa a mega deal, but for now, we're on day 48 of the lockout. And on ice, the shootout went 9 rounds, and the Flyers still couldn't win.
Wahlstrom in on Carter Hart. All but stops. Took the shot. He scores. And Oliver Wahlstrom, the 9th shooter for the Islanders, wins it in the shootout, giving New York the 4-3 shootout win.
Hang in there. Tim Saunders, Flyers Radio, the 4-3 final, extending the Philly losing streak to 9. Now, we're stunned. Woo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I think we've done this before, but I don't care. Plus, Sean might think it's romantic.
Okay.
We are less than a month away from Valentine's Day. Now, most of us men bad at gifts, but don't get this one. The Bronx Zoo is once again letting you name one of their giant Madagascar hissing cockroaches after your sweetheart.
Aw.
A $15 donation gets you naming rights, an actual certificate with your partner's name on it. But wow, you can also add some things on, like socks, a beanie, or a virtual meet and greet with said cockroach. Wait, again, for some extra cash.
The socks go on the cockroach?
No, they go on you. I don't know if they say Bronx Zoo, if they say if they're cockroach themed.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, and I love the zoo, you can't name a cockroach for your boyfriend or girlfriend. I can't imagine that goes over well.
Well, it certainly doesn't. So this feels like the Bronx Zoo is in on the joke that you can name a hissing cockroach. That's got to be the most vile creature that they have at the Bronx Zoo.
Has to be.
So instead of naming the snow leopards some, you know, after your sweetheart, you get to name a hissing cockroach. Like, they've got to be in on this gag.
Yeah, well, I would also say the snow leopards, I'm assuming longer lifespan, already are named. You can't be doing that. But Bogus just mentioned virtually meeting the cockroach. So we're Zooming with cockroaches now on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
And I almost feel like the first time we did this, it was a real joke that you're supposed to name, like, your heartbreak. You were supposed to kind of be mean. This is about love. This is supposed to be an actual gift. Like, honey, look what I got for you. You're going to love this.
We should do this. For Valentine's Day, why don't we take the girls in our life that broke our hearts, that were the meanest to us, and we'll name hissing cockroaches after them, and we'll buy this from the Bronx
Zoo. Hey, Pete.
So, Danielle.
Pete's already got one. No, no, no. The woman.
Fleet.
Fleet. The woman in your life prior to Danielle that broke your heart, that was mean to you, even if it was in grade school and she'd made fun of you. There's got to be somebody. I mean, even your mom blamed a fart on you and it wasn't your mom. There's got to be a woman in your life that did something over the course of your life that you would want to name a hissing cockroach after.
I just got to dig up the cafeteria woman from third grade.
Okay.
Wait, I thought she made you soft-baked cookies.
Then the other woman started changing things. I started to get less cookies. But a good point. Yeah, we'll get back.
Okay, so let's all do some thinking about this over the next 3 weeks. Think of the woman in your life that most represents a hissing cockroach. Okay, and I'm going to call the Bronx Zoo. We're going to apply for these, and we're going to do the Zoom meetings with our cockroaches.
Oh, we're going the full package, huh?
All right. Yeah, yeah. It's $15, right?
No, you got more for the meet and greet. It's $15 just to do the name.
How much could the meet and greet
be? It doesn't actually say in the article how much more the package goes.
All right, I'm dialing this thing up. I want to see how much it is.
Let's do it.
It's going to clear some old karma for us. We're going to name somebody from our past that broke our hearts or... in your case, took away cookies.
No, I can find somebody else meaner. There's been a lot of mean people.
We're going to name hissing cockroaches after them and then do virtual meet and greets with them.
I like it. I like it.
I love that Pete's going to name the entire enclosure. He's going to call the Pete Bellotti Cockroach Pavilion at the Bronx
Zoo. The Pavilion Memorial.
The Cockroach Pavilion.
Building skyscrapers, everything.
By the way, what does it say about the Bronx Zoo that they have cockroaches to see? Like, who needs to see that exhibit when you pay to go to the zoo?
I don't know.
Go from camels to cockroaches?
Yeah, that's right. That's their branding slogan. From camels to cockroaches. Come see it all.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
What dog breed best describes Cowboys fans? 42% say a pug. 37% say Pomeranian. 14% say Labradoodle. And only 5% say Rottweilers. You know why. Now, our modern-day Ace Ventura, Mraz, has had his share of animal excitement. During the 07 NFC Championship game, Giants and Packers, the Mraz family dog, Wellington, joined the family in chanting defense in unison. And to this day, Bob the Deli Man believes he taught his cat how to say milk. What was the name of that cat?
Zipper.
Bob the Deli Man insists he taught Zipper how to say milk.
Yeah, and I believed that for a long time when I was a kid, when Zipper was still with us, he would put out milk for the cat, which, do people do that anymore? Is my dad so wrong?
Well, that's an old school thing to do, but I think the cats still drink milk.
Okay, and the cat would say, meow, like that, and my dad would be, like, infatuated, like, say milk. He actually literally thought, and he would send videos, like VHSs to, I think, America's Funniest Home Videos at the time, trying, he tried to be famous that he taught his cat how to say milk.
Even though Zipper was just saying meow.
He didn't believe that Zipper was just saying meow. And by the time I got older and I look back, I'm like, no, the cat was saying meow.
Meow, 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 meow. Milk, please. Jeremy tweet, you guys are going to make me misspell bananas now. I can't get Mraz's version out of my head. Hashtag no. B-A-N-N-N-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-A-S. You toss me around that deck, so it's not just gonna happen like that, cause ain't no hollaback girl. Lonnie tweets, happy birthday, Pete the Body. Hope your day is the best. Just like this is the best show ever. Longtime listener, proud, less famous Mothership listener. Have a great week, guys. Hashtag ho, 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 Blue Giant.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Carla says happy birthday to Pete the Body. Carrot cake is the healthy option. Yes! I'm the only one in my family who likes carrot cake, so more for me. Enjoy your slice and rotisserie chicken with veggies. Hashtag carrot cake is healthy.
Ho, ho, ho.
Upside Down Mike says happy birthday, Pete the Body. I know you were having a good time with an early birthday present last night watching the Oliver Wahlstrom bury a shot in the shootout for the Islanders. Let's go, Isles.
I feel alive!
Jeffrey says, yo, Body, happy birthday. May you gorge on chow and be hip deep in presence. Hashtag, it's your birthday. Mac and Bear tweets, happy birthday, Pete. You are a hashtag sports giant. Ho, ho, ho. Enjoy your day.
Ho, ho, ho.
Mariana says, just when I think I can't love the show anymore, you trash the Cowboys again. It almost makes being a Giants fan a little less painful. Almost. Mariana also says, my 13-month-old has started reacting to your laugh, DA, by scrunching up his face and going, heh, heh, heh. All right. And Chuck says, by the way, Mraz is the rain man of food. That is the proper way to describe how Mraz's brain works. But let's get to your epic fail of the morning. As Mraz described, what is going wrong with Mike McCarthy's body?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I love the idea of Mike McCarthy. All of his airbags have blown.
That's essentially it. That's the best way to put it. Yes.
All he has left
They've
is looking like
deployed.
The actual Nickelodeon graphic they made of him after the game on Sunday. That's the only way he could get worse.
You know, but Mraz brings up a lot of good points. He's got no neck to hide now. He's trying to hide it with a big gray beard. Bad look.
There's no turds here.
And he's not tall, so he's just growing rounder. He looks more and more like a Russian nesting egg every time. So it's just more round.
And I say this entirely seriously, and I know it's going to come across as this. If you look at me and you stand up, you will notice something. I have essentially an inverted behind, okay? The reason for that is when you are a little heavy set, your legs carry a lot of weight, so your legs get a little more defined, your butt gets a little more, I guess, like not fat. But when you run out of room in your neck, your stomach, and your arms, the butt will explode. So the point is, if Mike McCarthy keeps this job, the ass is the next to go. And it's going to be awfully tough putting on pants for him.
And you have to really pull and yank at the udder.
We've all seen the 500-pound guy walk through Walmart, and you're like, whoa, look at that. And it's like no definition from your ass to the back of your knee, because that's it. That you've totally exploded there. And, you know, you sit on the toilet, you're 15 feet up because that's the last thing you've gained. Look out for that with Mike McCarthy in the next 2 years. He doesn't have that yet, but it's getting there.
The ass will be the next to go.
Come on, man.
Again, the airbag will blow out of that window.
It happens. I've been there. I watch my ass on a daily basis to make sure. That's as long as that doesn't go for me, I know I'm still in good shape.
Note the beard.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I just like how Mraz is like Lewis Riddick projecting what a roster will look like. You watch for this. Watch for this. Upside Down Mike adds, I truly feel bad for Mraz because the girls in our town were and are very ruthless. And speaking from experience of having a friend like Mraz in our friend group, not Sean specifically, it is so awkward and cringy. That's why you feel terrible for him. Backwards Brian says, I'm literally dumbfounded to find out that Mraz remembered his McDonald's order after spin the bottle in seventh grade. Hashtag, this is real, folks. Hashtag, B-A-N-N-N-N-A-S. And Pat says, happy birthday, Pete. The show wouldn't be the same without you. It's better with you. Wishing you much good food and pleasant company to you on this day.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. And happy birthday to the audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.